Hey, Josh, how's it going?
Bill, it's going great. How's it going with you?
Outstanding, outstanding. Well, as always, we want to get started on time for everybody that's on the call today. We've got quite a group. We've got more calling in by the minute, so I'm going to turn it over to you, Josh, and when you say here's Bill, we'll get going.
That's great. And is it, you've already put it in lecture mode?
Yes. Hold on 1 second. You got it.
Okay, terrific. Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us today. My name is Josh Millar, and I work with the IBIS Group. We have, until recently, worked exclusively helping loan originators partner with experienced realtors in their local markets. We still operate the Realtor Introduction Service, but we've recently launched a new program, our Professional Networking Suite. And the Networking Suite gives you your own business blog updated daily by us, a monthly newsletter to send to your contact list, social media setup on the 8 major networking sites, and search engine optimization of your business website. We're offering 2 free months for new subscribers if you sign up before February 15th. If you'd like more information, send an email to networkingsuite, that's SUITE, at theibisnet.com. We have with us today the coach, Bill Sparkman. Bill Sparkman has coached, trained, and motivated thousands of mortgage professionals nationwide. He's been creating and developing champions in the mortgage business as well as salespeople in all fields since 1987. And Bill is going to teach us to kick off 2010 and have your best year ever. Good morning, Bill.
Well, hi, Josh. And first of all, welcome to everybody. Thanks for joining this morning our business building teleseminar. And before I get too much further, I just want to make sure I always start off with really thanking Josh Millar and the IBIS Group for sponsoring these kind of calls. I think they're as important today as they've ever been in our industry. These are definitely some crazy, crazy times. And I thought they were the last time we spoke, which wasn't that long ago, actually, Josh. But it seems like even since then, since we were together last, things just keep changing at a pace we've never seen before. With all the changes that have taken place, it's almost like we're all starting over. Did you ever feel like that? Almost like every day, it's like here I go again. It's like a whole new mortgage business. So I'm okay with that. I know that today the marketplace is it's not for the weak. It's not for the faint of heart. You've got to have great support. You've got to have great strategies. And when I say great support, I think you're getting a sense of that support you're getting today from even from the IBIS Group. We've all got to come together. So the business today really is built for the pro. So given that you have had a lot of choices this morning of what you could have done, you chose to be on this call. So I will ask you to make sure you protect that investment. Get something that you can absolutely use. Roll up your sleeves. Let's make this. I want to really delve into some of the things that are really required. I was almost going to say what we need to really look at, but there's some requirements today. The business is built for the pro. I said the good loan originators are gone. They couldn't tolerate this market. They couldn't tolerate the changes that we've had to go through lately. I would say that the great loan originators, they're struggling. They're hanging in there. Their theme is survival, and they're just hanging on for something when things change again. So really the ones, and I suspect it's you because you're on the call today, you got to be excellent today. Yeah, good, I'm sorry. We blew by good 2 years ago. Great, nah, not good enough. I think it's going to be excellent, and it's the excellent loan originators in every area of their business that are going to control this marketplace. I guess you're going to have to look at really if there are any areas of your business where you can improve to become excellent. One of the things that you will get from being on the call today, thanks to Josh and the IBIS Group, is my 6-page Loan Originator Game Plan 2010. If you want it, you'll just have to let Josh know, and he'll be happy to share that with you. The only reason I bring it up now is there's a page there where you can really begin to evaluate and analyze your business in 13 different areas to really come up with yourself where you think you might be able to get a little bit better. And I think maybe that's another theme for the year, or the day, or the week. We've got to get better. Those strategies that you use to get you to where you are today, they're not going to be good enough to get you to another level. So I do believe that, you know, working harder and a positive attitude and all that, we've talked before, that's not enough. With the skills that are required from us in this market. Oh, like creating urgency in our customers, that alone. Overcoming buyer indecision. I'll give you a couple of ideas on that. Getting your buyer and your borrower off the fence. Off the fence of indecision, waiting for whatever. Those are skills, I think, that are required again today, probably as important as ever before. So, short time, here's my, my objective is simple, as always, give you some tangible tools that will make this call worthwhile and some strategies that you can use as soon as you hang up. And I think that will help protect that investment. We're going to talk about my six steps to six figures game plan. It's sort of the connect the dots approach. I like connect the dots. I know in our business, simple gets done. Complicated either gets postponed or it gets put off until it never gets done. So I like simple. So we'll talk about those six steps to six figures. And I don't know what six figures is. You know, that could be $100,000. It could be almost $1 million. I just use that figure. I'm sure that you've got your own number plugged in somewhere. I really believe that most, and I think it's critical to have the right plan this year, not just a plan, but the right one. But I think that most plans seem to fail because I get, as you can imagine, coaching requests and please look at my plan. Most plans fail really for three reasons. Either they're too complicated, number one, they're too complex. And remember, if they're too complex, you won't do them. And I think that's, you know, or it's going to be too complicated and you'll be doomed for failure. And I think part of it is that. The second reason I think they fail is just they're just a lack of focus. Too many people dabbling today, grabbing straws. They're trying to do anything. And they're getting so scattered that they really aren't accomplishing anything. So that could be the second reason. And I think that the third reason most plans fail is that just, there's just little or no motivation. All of a sudden you put that plan together and you know how much gas you had in the tank when you wrote it. And then all of a sudden the real world sinks in. You start to lose motivation and you begin to settle for less. So I'll try to give you some things that will help overcome those three things, the lack of focus. I'm going to give you some lasered focus strategies as well as a real simple plan and one that may provide the motivation that I think it's going to be required to get you all the way through this year, and I think part of it is that. So enough of that. That's kind of a tee up. Let's start right off with the first step. And that first step, I've said a little bit about it, but I want to give you some specific strategies. And it again, is having that right plan. And it really has to be so different today than the plan you had 3 months ago, a quarter ago, you know, 6 months ago or last year. I'm less interested, by the way, in the format you use. You mean, is there some secret plan formula? I don't really care what format. You can write it on a cocktail napkin, all right? I don't really care. But the key word there is, as long as it's in writing. You see, if it's not, then it's just a hope and a wish and a dream. And, you know, most people don't write down what they want because there's no way to fail then. Does that make sense? As long as I don't write anything down or tell anybody, hey, I can't fail. You're right, yeah. That's called settling for anything. Anyway, so... And also, it's hard to make adjustments. We're going to talk about when and where and how to make some adjustments today. But if you don't have anything written down, how do you even know where to make those adjustments? And I think part of it is that. Be sure that you're absolutely market sensitive. I know some of you I see are calling in today from the East Coast, the West Coast. based on where you do business, make sure that your plan is absolutely geared to attack that part of the marketplace. If you're calling today from Florida, I know that part of your plan should say how you're going to attack the purchase market in 2010, in the midst of all the short sales and in the midst of all the REO foreclosures. In other words, your plan's got to be very, very clear, but that's market sensitive versus, well, I'm really going to go after a ton of refis this year. Really? Where you're at? Every other house is upside down. Equity is a huge issue. don't beat yourself up over that. So all I'm saying is be very market sensitive to with the particular marketplace that you're in. I think also be sure that you take 100% responsibility for what you experience. That's another difficult one. It's not going to be the market, the weather, the interest rates, whether yield spread goes away or the government stops buying mortgage-backed security. All that's whatever. You will be responsible, I say, for all the success you experience, as well as taking responsibility for those things that don't work. So, no, there's going to be more going on. You know that. You think we've gotten to the end of, you know, first we had the HVCC, and then there was the Reg Z and all the new disclosure stuff, and along came the RESPA. Now we've got the new GFE, and we got the new HUD stuff, and we got, I mean, it seems as though the change is accelerating. It's like, oh, and I'm not one that really likes change, but I guess it doesn't matter what I like. We've really got to become more flexible with that. And just when we thought we were starting to get our arms around, you know, the new GFE, now we've got new changes coming from HUD and FHA, and right in the middle of that, you know, just some of those things, you know, raising the MIP up front to 2.25, that's going to be big. Lowering the seller concessions from 6 to 3, that's going to be big. Congress is ready to sign to let FHA raise the monthly annual premium as well. All those things are right now. Here we go again. And by the way, that those changes are imminent because FHA's they're going out of business. And comma, they can't go out of business. That's all we got. And given they don't make loans, the only way they can raise some capital is raising those insurance premiums. So you're going to see that. So again, in the middle of that, my plan's got to be dead on. I just don't have that safety net any longer or the margin for error. The only thing I would ask you to also include in your plan, and I go back to this thing about motivation, you're going to get unmotivated. Sorry about that. That's just the way things are. I had somebody yesterday say, no, I stay motivated every day. You liar. Come on. You're human. All right? I think that that's a natural tendency to not plan for those times in your plan for what you're going to do when you do get unmotivated. In my new book, I call it negative preparation. It's almost planning for those things that seem to be negative, but they're reality. So I think in your plan, number one, what are you going to do when you get unmotivated? How long are you going to be unmotivated? 5 minutes, a day, a week? And I think that you have to have some strategy for that as well. I think one of the things that can help to keep you as motivated as anything else is being very clear about why you're in this business. And I think my new plan, I don't have it right in front of me, but it might be a question to be very clear about why you're in the mortgage business right now. I ask every coach and client, everybody I meet, guy, why are you doing this? Are you kidding me? This is not for, again, the weak of the knees. You just have to have a good answer. I think the word why will really, it'll create all the motivation you need. I think when you forget why you're doing something, you lose purpose. And when you lose purpose, you lose interest. And I don't care if it's a relationship, if it's in the mortgage business. So I think include that in your plan. What do I do? And I don't care what you do. Go to the gym. Go for a run. Play music. But something that you can say, I have a strategy. Aha. I've got one of those moments. You know, one of those moments like, why am I don't need this. Well, get yourself back in the game. And I think part of it is that. Be clear about those kind of goals that you want. I think that, you know, you can't be vague about that. I don't care how you do it. Again, production, income, whatever. In the plan that Josh has for you, my game plan 2010, I have a 10-step game plan. Very simple, as you can imagine. It's only 10 steps. So it does fit into my concept of keep it simple. But it'll talk about different areas of your business and how you can put together that plan, or at least look at this one and compare it to the one that you have. I'm not saying replace your plan, but be sure that you've got one that answers some of these questions. So I think part of it is that. Just, you know, you can't be vague. I guess that's part of it. Be sure to include all times. Be realistic. Don't tell me you've got 10 new marketing strategies for 2010. How about 3? Maybe 4 at the most. You just, again, can't get too out there. Now, along with the 10-step game plan, I've also given you a form, again, if you want it. It's called Reducing Goals to Appointments. I'm a big one on appointments. I say that if you didn't write alone yesterday, there's only one reason, and it wasn't the weather or anything else. You didn't have enough appointments. I know that that's the straight line to you reaching your goals, in our business at least, is through the number of appointments. So I've given you an example of how you can reduce your goal down to appointments. Let's say a goal, somebody says, I want to make $100,000 this year. Well, that's too big for me. I mean, okay, great. Can we get that down to something that's a little bit more manageable? Let's say that your average loan amount's $200,000 and you want to make $100,000. See, for me now, the transaction goal is pretty simple. That's 50 units a year. And I like units. I know a lot of you focus on volume. I think today we have to focus more on transactions and less on volume, less on how much I make a loan. I need to put more loans in the pipeline. Now, see, that's just math. That's 50 units. Now, if you convert 50% of the people you talk to, it's pretty simple now. You need 100 appointments this year to close 50 deals. And I'm just using this as an example. You're running your business. You would know that. I'll bet Josh knows exactly how many people he has to contact, how many people he has to – it's just a numbers game. Now, given that I'm going to give you 40 weeks a year to work, let's give you 12 weeks to kind of do whatever you want to do. If that's the case, you simply need 2.5 appointments a week to reach your goal. See, that's more manageable for me. I can focus a lot more easily on 2.5 appointments per week times 40 weeks this year. I got 100 appointments. I got 50 units closed, and I hit my goal of $100,000. So I think it's just break it down a little bit. I think that these grand goals are great, but I'm more interested in two things. How many appointments do you need a week, and how are we going to get them? It kind of starts with that. With that form, I've also given you my definition of an appointment. So, you know, an appointment isn't it's not a contact. It's not a how many voice broadcasts or letters you sent out. It's that one-to-one, looking in their eyes, sitting down, and really talking to a prospect. And I think it starts with that. So enough of that. I don't want to beat that up, but I think you'll have, if for those that want, you'll have something very manageable and easy to look at. And I just think that this year we need something real easy to keep us moving. I think every Sunday night or every Monday morning, the question I'd like to ask yourself is just simply this. What can I do this week to make my business stronger, more enjoyable, and more profitable? If you can answer that question at the beginning of every week, and you know what it is. I mean, it's not like some secret answer. It's pretty simple. What can I do this week to make my business stronger? What can I do to make it more enjoyable? And what can I do to make it more profitable? Just those three, and then it's kind of like, all right, now let's go get it. Let's go after it now. So enough of that, but you will have some tools you can use there, and let's move on to the second step. For me, and it's called work ethic, but I don't know. I'm tired of people telling me that this year they just have to work smarter. You know, it's one of those jargon, need to work smarter, not harder. Well, I'm not so sure about that. I think this year it may be a common. I'm okay with that, smarter, if you can tell me what that means. Most people I talk to that say they need to work smarter, I just ask them, so what's that going to be like? What are you going to do? It's more about that they heard that was a good idea. So I think this year maybe it's more about working smarter and harder. Okay, sorry. And I know some of you have worked in the last 12 months harder than you've ever worked in the past and probably gotten less in return than you've ever got. Well, that's kind of part of the difference in the business today. I still believe that there's only about a half a dozen things in our business that will determine 80% of your success from this point forward. We don't have time to – I think maybe one of those six things – and by the way, it's not 600, not 60 things you have to be great at. It's about six things, and I got to be dead on with these six. And I think one of them might be how you manage your daily agenda. That's about work ethic. It's what you decide to do now and what you decide to put off later that will absolutely begin to create the results that you get on a daily and a weekly basis. So I think we have to be very good at that one. Some of you have to become better at managing distractions all day, managing interruptions. Anybody relate? I mean, come on. You've got a great plan for the day, and then all of a sudden, all these distractions come in. You know that guy in the office that comes over, hi, do you have a minute? And pretty soon there's 20 minutes. and then the next one, you want to go to lunch, and then there's another one, and then there's a phone, and then there's the email, and then there's the kids, then there's, I mean, you've got distractions and interruptions coming at you all day long. How can you say that I'm really into work ethic? Well, you're spending 80% of your time off on these tangents. So I think you have to be very good and make good choices about how you manage those. An example would be, hey, Bill, do you have a minute? No, I don't. I mean, I just don't right now. I don't have a second. I don't have a millisecond. I'm just dead on in the middle of this task. We have to become better at saying no when we – that's not mean. I'm trying to control my day here, and I think we have to get better at that. So I think the question you can ask yourself with regards to work ethic, anytime during the day, and you don't need anybody to ask you, you can just say, hey, is what I'm doing right now getting me closer or further away from what I want? And I guess it's even more simple. I say if you're not working on originating a loan or closing a loan, stop immediately what you're doing and go back to originating or working on closing a loan. I mean, I don't know what else there is. So I think it's just the habits that you've got to look at. I think they're more important than goals. I'm okay with whatever goal you want. You want a bigger this or a smaller that or more of this or less of that, I'm okay. But I think that it's going to be habits that really determine what you're going to get. And I think some of those habits you're going to have to break, and you may have some you have to make. I don't know. You decide. But clearly, not much this work ethic here. Simple. Show up more this year. Absolutely. You could eliminate 50% of your competition just by showing up. Well, about 70% of your competition's already left the business. How cool is that? They're gone. 70%. We're down to 15,000 mortgage brokers nationwide from 225,000 just 18 months ago. So clearly, most of your competition couldn't stand it, what's going on today. You can eliminate probably 50% of the rest just by working. Think how many realtors have been abandoned by their loan originator. They're gone. How many referral sources have been abandoned by their loan originator? So I think there's some real opportunity there for you based on the mass exodus in our business. Rather, see, I look at that as a good thing rather than a bad thing, like, God, everybody's going to a bank and net branch, getting out of the business. But hang on a second. That's just more for us. They're still looking to, at forecasting over $2 trillion this year in origination, 65% of that in purchases. I mean, there's going to be a lot of business. Somebody's going to get it. So anyway, enough of that. You got it. Habits to make, habits to break. You decide what they're going to be and just show up more. You know, the third step along that that way is better sales skills. Again, here's what I'm gonna zone that in for you. We talk about that a lot. Oh, I got to get better at selling. No, you got to get excellent at selling. And here's why. Again, look at your numbers. I've got to be dead on today with some new skills. You got to have great and new questions. Those questions that you used last year with a suspect or a prospect won't be good enough this year to get them over the edge. You just got to come up with, you got to be nosy, probably nosier than you've ever been. Here's four things I want you to analyze and evaluate every single time you meet a new suspect. And by the way, the difference for me between that suspect and a prospect is with a prospect, you've got an appointment. With a suspect, you're still just talking. You haven't even met. Anyway, you get the concept. So if you have a prospect or a suspect, here's what I want you to evaluate. Number one, and you do this, I guess, through your questioning, and you do this in about 5 minutes, so you don't waste a lot of time. Number one, you have to evaluate their urgency. Their urgency is critical, not yours. I got your urgency. You're on the call today looking for some ideas that you can do to grow your business. I'm all in with you. It's how do you begin to determine the urgency of your prospect. That's a good one. And you have to do that quickly. You know how it goes. Oh, I'll call you. We're going to think about, urgency, number one. Evaluate, number two, ability. What's their ability? Well, we're thinking about getting a job. Okay, great. Move on. Number three, their commitment. I think that's important. You're the only lender we're talking with. Oh, come on. Let's get real. Let's talk about finding ways to evoke their commitment and make sure that it's in alignment with yours. And then, of course, if it's a refinance, you have to evaluate equity. But it's urgency, ability, commitment, and equity. It's like you got to sell me on those four things before I even begin to try to sell you on me. Does that make sense? We get so off on, let's just talk about loan programs and I'm the best and here's what makes me good and I'll call you. I mean, we get into that like, whoa, hang on. I know, even in this market, got to be a little more selective. We just got to be careful. So again, evaluate that as quickly as you can. Selling for me, here's the difference between, here's an example, the new tax credit or the extension. Move up buyers and first time and all that good stuff. I'm sure you've read enough on that. There's something every day you can read to get smarter and know more about the tax credit. My question for you as your coach would be, how are you going to sell it? I didn't say market it. I said, how are you going to sell it? See, today, with the pushback to April 30th, there is an automatic potential, again, for people to put things off. Look what happened between November and December just this past year. Sales in December went in the tank. Sales in November were like crazy, and October. And, again, they had the deadline for the tax credit. Well, now you got people saying, what's the big rush? I got till April. I got till June to close. Well, see, here's where you stand tall. Can you convince me now of why I should move forward today rather than wait until spring? Oh, that's a good one. See, that's called sales skills. That's called selling the tax credit benefits today. Now, based on something that I said earlier, I want you to consider this. If somebody said to me, why should I, what's the big deal? I could make a case very clearly and strongly for somebody moving forward today based on just what I said with the FHA. April 5th is the target for the MI to go up. I've got possible rate increases. I've got the annual maybe going. There's a lot of things going on, and if that happens, there's going to be less selection. I've got ridiculously low interest rates today. If the government decides not to buy any more mortgage-backed securities, rates are going to go up. That's a given. So you have to put all that in a story that begins to transfer that urgency to your customer. This is a long conversation. I'm going to get off this, but this is critical today. Otherwise, you've got more people sitting on the fence. I try to teach realtors every day, not every day, but two or three times a week in seminars. You got to get really good at getting your people to move forward now, not later. So I think that's critical for all of us. Marketing for me is a waste of time and money until somebody says, where do I sign? I mean, it's revenue that comes from sales. So that's why I think that it's critical as third step to get what I want this year. I got to be dead on, really good, again, at evaluating urgency, ability, commitment, equity, selling some of the things that we've got on the table today to help our customer move forward quickly. So tell me about your situation. I still think it's a great question. That's what I call my five magic words. Tell me about your situation. And I think that is an interesting question for me. Pretty much people will tell you whatever you need to know. So I guess once they've sold you and you go, okay, yeah, they're urgent. They got the ability. I ran this. They brought me everything I needed to analyze. We approve people on what they show me, not what they tell me. By the way, that's a good one to tell your realtors. The loan was approved on what they told me. The loan will be turned down on what they showed me. There's a huge difference. That's a sales skill. You want to know about rates? Great. Bring me these six documents. Bring me this. I don't even know what to say anymore. And with the new criteria for the GFE and everything else, I think that's another critical one. So I think those things have to be very, very clear before we start selling ourselves. And then we can, there is definitely a difference. I just wrote an article on eight ways to get a loan turned down with a 740 credit score and a DU approval. And it was for a realtor group. And it was like, how does that happen? Simple. 2 years ago, you got a DU approval and a 740 credit score. Take it to the bank. I mean, you and me be cashing that check. Today it's like yawning. Oh, you got a 740 and a DU? Well, whatever. Now let's see what really happens. So we've got to have great, great conversations. Maybe that's as critical today in our sales skills, managing expectations of our realtor, managing expectations of our borrowers. I told realtors to stop writing 30-day contracts. What are you, crazy? You wrote a 30-day contract on a short sale? I don't know who came up with that word anyway, short sale. It's the longest sale I've ever seen. But the key is managing and creating realistic expectations. For some of you on the call today, for today that are mortgage brokers, I know you got another whole credibility issue you got to deal with. I'm sorry. I know you're good. You know you're good. You're probably even excellent today. But your customer has got all this goofy stuff coming from the media and every other which way about mortgage brokers. You know, you guys, if it wasn't for you, you know, every day would be sunny. I mean, well, that's just an issue. I don't pretend. Oh, no, they don't care. Well, I don't know. If somebody asks you what you do today, I'd suggest you say, I'm in real estate finance. We don't have to get in. I'm a loan broker or whatever. No, I help people finance their homes. That's what I do. So anyway, enough of that, but great conversations. Manage expectations and really use that evaluation process to decide if you're going to move forward with a customer. Step four, pretty simply, is just the right creating the right foundation for your marketing. It's pretty simple for me. Today, every day is just to wake up, brush your teeth, comb your hair, and go out and find a customer. That's basically the bottom line of all marketing. Oh, we can get crazy with social media and everything else, but go find a customer every day. And if you don't do that too many days in a row, you end up just having an expensive hobby. Does that make sense? I don't need any more hobbies I don't get paid for, okay? But I think that it is pretty critical. You'd have to sell me. Where'd your business come from last year? You want to talk about marketing? What are you going to do this year? Remember, I got your goals now. That was very clear. I got it. Number of appointments. You're very clear. Now I just want to know, how are we going to do it? Where are we going to find people that can actually have the ability, the commitment, the urgency, and the equity? See, that's the target today. And I think that's changed dramatically. So we just got to take a look. I'm very much into target-specific marketing, especially this year, because it's more difficult to obtain a loan. That's just reality. I don't do any mass marketing. I wouldn't suggest you do. Target audience. Balance some of that high tech and high touch. I know loan officers that are so into their website and their Facebook and their tweeters and all this stuff that they're so busy doing that that they don't have enough time to find a customer. So I think we have to balance. I'm okay with all that. But I think balance the high touch, kissing babies, shaking hands, go talk to people, get out into the community. Balance your passive and social marketing. Your passive and your active marketing. See, social marketing I'm okay with, but that's passive. Well, no, I put something on there every day, I know, and it took you how long, and you could have went out and seen three people. So a little bit of balance, balancing today and future business. You got to promote yourself everywhere you go. You're in the self-promotion business. Well, I'm in the loan business. No, you're not. You're in the marketing and the self-promotion business. You got to go self-promote every day. The moment we stop promoting ourselves, that's kind of it. Spend a lot of time this year building what I call your non-commissioned sales team. Now, first of all, I like that. This is people that work for me. This is my unpaid staff. Does that make sense? All of you on the call today need more unpaid staff. I need more people out there cheering me on to everybody else that they know. So for me, somebody said the other day to me, that's a great idea. I said, good, so how do you do that? He had no idea. Well, it starts with closed clients. First of all, that should be your number one non-commissioned sales team. Everybody that you've sold and closed to, you did a good job. They should be shouting and yelling and cheering for you every day, and as well as your referral sources. And by the way, you don't get referrals that you deserve. You only get referrals that you earn. So people that say, well, come on, I got 200 people in my database, and they'll remember me. No, they won't. They're going to forget you if you forget them. We got to work them hard this year because every other lender in your community is going after your closed client. Does that make sense? They're meeting them everywhere they go, and they're talking about what they do. So you got to be very clear. We've got to build that non-commissioned sales team with a very distinct and directed strategy. And I think that comes from, at the very beginning, paying attention to them. We got to really pay attention in a lot of different ways. And you got to have a great, compelling value statement in your marketing. Like I said, mortgage broker, what do you do? I help people finance their home. It's got to be a good answer to the question, why should I work with you? Remember, they just walked into their bank, their credit union, and 15 other places that saw flyers and people there talking about that. So I think that's part of it, a value statement. And by the way, it's not a bad question. Why should I give you a loan? Well, what's in it for me? And don't tell me it's just you have a great rate. I don't care about that. You got to have a compelling value statement because you know there are other companies out there every day touting that they have the lowest rates and all the rest of it. So you just got to have something compelling. Why am I going to give you my business? And I think that's critical, especially for your realtor. Josh knows more than anybody that realtors, as well as loan originators, they have a very similar reason for wanting to do business with each other, and that's that there's a high value that each can see from the relationship that they're going to get in return. Otherwise, well, why would I? So anyway, I think it's good enough that it should be in your business plan under marketing, and I think part of the foundation is, what's my compelling value statement? Why would anybody give me a loan? And you got to have to come up with something pretty decent this year. I guarantee it. It's got to be dead on again. And just stay visible. I think you got to be more memorable this year than ever. Just everything you do has got to be, again, memorable. It's got to be you got to be visible probably more than anything else this year. So not a bad way to start. Here's my top, by the way, my top few low budget, high return marketing strategies, at least for you to consider. We're not going to go into all these, but I want to give you a thought or two so that after the call, you can begin to look at some of these where you can see that you can insert them into or expand on them into the marketing you're doing. And I say low budget, basically I'm cheap. I know every cheap marketing idea, but it's got to be also high return. I think it's got to have both of those. So I think it starts with, here's an opportunity that the confusion in the marketplace has created for you as an opportunity. And by the way, that's pretty good. Confusion creates opportunity. And we do that through what I call educational marketing. Right now, you have an incredible opportunity to go high touch, meaning touching the people, active marketing, using seminar and educational marketing. You are, and I'm saying you are, or you have to become, you're the expert. We're back to teaching. You're just a teacher. We got to teach people how to buy homes again. We got to teach people how to get a loan again. It's back to these opportunities through the confusion that the media has really created for our for the consumer. I go back to just the realtors alone. Are you kidding me? You tell me you couldn't get a meeting every single day, and I guarantee just with all of the HUD 1 and good faith estimate stuff and everything that's just going on, let alone what's changing for FHA and 7-8 ways to get a loan turned down with an 800 credit score. I'm telling you, you got the hot topic today. I just wrote another article for realtors called How to Shorten the Sales Cycle and Get Paid Faster. It's something I use to get in front of realtors for doing seminars and different things. I'm telling you, what else is interesting to them? Shorten the sales cycle and get paid faster. It just gives you the opportunity to take educational marketing with the changes that are going on. You've got business lunch meetings you can do. There's just so much you can get engaged with just through educational marketing. All right, put that aside. Second, I've already said it. Networking, go for it. It's high touch. It's active. You got to be with the right group. You want to put your networking on steroids? Well, start net speaking. Use educational marketing again. Get with your group. Get in front of people. Talk to them about what's interesting in your particular community, with regards to financing, home sales, appreciation, depreciation. What's going on? You've got a great topic. So I like networking. I'll include social networking there, I guess. But remember, as soon as it turns to social networking, now it's passive marketing and low touch, rather than active marketing and high touch. So I'm okay. And again, I have nothing. You know, it's all good. But just be sure you're in balance. You've got to look at your reverse prospecting again that we've talked about in the past. You just have to look at it new ways again. You may have to evaluate how your reverse prospecting is working. One of the ways that I'm seeing that we're getting the biggest return, and this is for back to educating your realtor, You know, we're back to promoting and selling payment, number one. We don't sell the price of homes. It's all about payment. We know that. Payment's emotional, and prices of homes just disqualify people when they read them anyway. But here, you know, we're selling that mortgage protection insurance this year again, second year in a row. I didn't know we'd be doing it again. But if you're not, I got to tell you, this is a hot topic for every realtor, and that is mortgage protection. And it costs very little more than a home warranty. Here's where that fits in. It does fit into reverse prospecting if your realtors or you are using it in advertising. But it's clearly where if they, you know the people that have told you, hey, I'd move ahead, but I'm telling you, it's just the economy. I'm worried about my job. I might get laid off. We know that that's that's real for people. That just means that you and I have to figure out ways to overcome that. And again, with mortgage protection, that's a part of it. And what that the short version is, if somebody loses their job within the first 2 years of the loan closing, their payments are made PITI up to $2,500 a month for them for 6 months. For some, that really provides that security to be able to move forward. Oh, by the way, there's another meeting for realtors. You're telling me when I bring that up to realtors, they don't want to run out. I teach them how to use that, though. Does that make sense? How to use it rather than to know about it. How they can go and offer that on their listings. Talk to the seller. The seller is going to pay it, by the way. Anybody can pay it except the buyer. So you get the concept. But we use that now in reverse prospecting in a lot of different ways. Everything from Craigslist to signs to sign writers to the home magazine ads with our realtors. Instead of the price there, I say, why don't you put down 2 years mortgage protection to start with that? And if you haven't looked at that, it's just rainydayfoundation.org, and it tells you all about it, and it's pretty easy. But again, it's just hot right now. Again, next year, I don't know. But today, I'm going to use it in marketing because I know I have too many people sitting on the fence because they're worried about losing their job. So again, rainydayfoundation.org, it tells you all about it. I have nothing to do with that other than it's just right now something that all of us can use. How many of you have an ebook on your website? You all have all these websites and they're all looking cool, but we're not getting enough out of it. You don't give people enough. You do enough selling on the website. Now people always tell me, well, you can't sell. The website doesn't sell for you. No, you're right. Especially if you don't have an audio or a video greeting. Obviously, that would be one thing. If somebody comes to your website and it doesn't say, hi, this is Bill, welcome, thanks for stopping by. They just came to your store. If somebody walked into any store, most people would say, hey, thanks, how you doing? Anyway, so the website will begin to get more out of it the more you add to it, like an ebook. I mean, come on, it's free. You know how long it would take you to write an ebook? How about that one? How to get a loan turned out, how to take advantage of this year's extension of the home, anything. Just go ebook and Google that, and it'll show you many ways. And by the end of the day, and by the way, when you get done, it looks just like a book, and all of a sudden you are becoming more of the expert. But again, it's on your website. You want to kick it up a notch? Why don't you write a book? I mean, come on. Do you know that I happen to know how many years it took to get my last book published? And all the hoops and all the things and everything that I went through. And I finally found a way. Now my new book that's just coming out here in about 3 weeks, I wrote it in about a month, and it's going to be out. It's through a service called Lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com. Come on, you can write a book. It's nothing. You sit at your computer. It is the simplest thing in the world. It looks just like a book. And for $350, I can buy one or 10 and use the book to create credibility instantly. All it is a business card on steroids again. You write a book authored by you, and it's got a great title. And I mean, come on, you just sit there and type it, cut and paste. I mean, it's just amazing. For any of you that said, my goal someday is to write a book, well, guess what? I just made it so easy for you. If you don't do it now, shame on you. Lulu.com, L-U-L-U. Create a CD. Do something, again, that's promoting you as the expert in your community. I think part of it is that we're working with good luck with the move-up buyers today, just that alone. But you have to be very, very target-specific. We're going after condos where they've lived there 5 years. They have a carport. They need a garage. They don't need another house. So I still like the concept. Yes, nice. We have a move-up buyer provision in the tax credit. I know, but how are you going to sell it? How do you convince somebody that, yeah, you might have to list your house and take a little bit of a beating on it, but, boy, are we going to make that up on the other side when you buy one? And, by the way, a clue here, that tax credit doesn't say you have to sell your home. It says you must be heavy as a primary residence 5 out of the last 8 years. So there are people that are now considering renting that and go and buy another one and take advantage of the move-up. All right, I want you to consider that. And, by the way, always check with your accountant. But part of it is that. And then just lastly, just your relationship-based marketing. I think that it's really looking at going from contact, suspect, prospect, partner, building powerful referral partnership networks this year like never before. Relationship-based marketing is as important, I think, as educational marketing or anything else we said. I don't want to go too much into marketing, but you got the concept. Step 5 is presentation. That's it. Passion sells. Enough said. Energy. I think if it's how you present things. It's educational marketing. People go, I don't want to talk in front of a group. Well, then why? What are you, crazy? That is a group selling. It's all about energy. It's about 20% content and about 80% presentation. It's your certainty. And I think presentation, you've got great opportunity. And I think that's a big, big part of an opportunity we can all take part of. The difference between knowledge and wisdom is wisdom is taking all this knowledge you have and finding a way to go present it to other people. Get out in the community. Go to your churches. Go to the schools. Go where you need to go. Take the Good Neighbor Teacher Only program. Go teach teachers how to buy homes at 50 cents on the dollar. But again, that's proactive. That's becoming high touch and active marketing. And I think it starts with that. The sixth step is pretty simple. We could have started with this one. It's just discipline. Done. Without discipline, you know, it's for me. Can you do all this even when you're not in the mood? People go, oh, I can do a lot of stuff. Yeah, even when you're not in the mood. I mean, to me, that's what my personal trainer tells me. It's not so much what you're going to do when I'm here. Are you going to be able to do this even when you're not in the mood, when it's too cold outside, when it's raining outside? It's about the discipline level to go all the way. And I think that's why the gym that I go to is so packed right now. My wife said, God, it's getting packed in here. I said, well, that's all right. Give it about 3 weeks. As soon as people find out that this is not easy, it'll be back the way it was in October. Most people are very disciplined about going to the gym and a new resolution. Yeah, right. Right until they figure out that, man, this hurts. I know. So see you later. I do believe at first you don't succeed, you're about average in our business. The highest achievers that I know only hit their goals about 65% of the time. Sometimes you win and sometimes you learn. That comes from the discipline and the persistence. So all the rest of this is just, yeah, it's a nice idea. But without that, I think that if you can't tolerate all the things that you're going to be faced with today, yesterday, next week, then this is going to be a difficult ride. And I think that that's why it will create more room for you. The licensing issues, the GFE, the conversations about yield spread disappearing, all of those things are going to create more opportunity for you, I say, because those that can't make the adjustment and adapt quickly, they'll be gone and you'll still be standing. Think of how many of you are standing on this call today. And you're standing because you had that. So, a summary, pretty simple. If you got a nugget out of this call, one, just act on it. That's it. I know you can't do everything, but I know you can do one thing. You just have to figure out what that one thing is that will help you move forward and accelerate that pace. And I think part of it is that. Something that you can do better to better yourself or your business, that's a choice that you'll make. I have given Josh permission to share the loan originator's game plan if you want it. I'm sure all you have to do is let him know, and he'll be able to talk to you about getting that. Very simple. But again, only get it if you know you're going to use it. Didn't that say, it's like all these ideas we gain. You know, I got a book full of ideas, and I threw that book. I don't need more ideas. I got to figure out what I'm going to do and then go make that happen. So it's been an honor for you to take this time to listen to me. I again, wish all of you prosperity in this year, and I'll look forward to talking to you again soon. Josh, back to you, my friend.
Thanks for the great information, Bill. And thanks to everyone for dialing in today. If you want to get Bill's piece, send me an email, jmillar@theibisnet.com. J-M-I-L-L-A-R. If you'd like to find out about our professional networking suite, we're offering 2 free months if you sign up before February 15th. Send an email to networkingsuite, S-U-I-T-E, at theibisnet.com. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks, everybody.